This is Workshop 7 of the DGHA Conference 2014, Training with Other Breeds. Speaker is Daisy Holt. She's a mobility instructor for the Royal Society for the Blind.
This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
I would like to introduce you today, Cadet mobility instructor, Daisy Holt. From Royal Society for the Blind. She's going to talk to us today about training with other breeds.
Hello,
Daisy.
Thanks, Greg.
Good morning, everyone.
Yes.
My name is Margaret. How are you all?
Good.
Nice to see some of you guys in the same room. As Greg said, my name is Daisy Holt. I'm a cadet guide and mobility instructor at the Royal Society for the Blind. So just a quick intro about me.
Could you hold the microphone?
A bit closer?
Yes,
yeah,
please.
You've got to talk. Yeah, that's it.
You've got to talk right into it.
Thank you.
So I've been working at the Royal Society for the Blind for 3 years. I started in the puppy program, and I've just started in the cadet guide and mobility instructor program about a year and a half ago. So it's all a bit new for me in the guide dog industry, but I have trained the various breeds, so hopefully I can give you some insight in that. And I did an animal science degree at Adelaide Uni, so I really got an idea about breeding and genetics and all that sort of stuff. So I'll give you an intro about the RSB Guide Dog Service. We've been operating for about 6 years, so we're quite a young school. We've got 52 guide dog teams out there working, and we've got 62 pups, and we've got our own breeding program, which breeds about 40 pups a year. And the manager is Chris Muldoon, and Chris likes to have a look at other breeds as well. So we have actually used a few different breeds and to have a look at what they would be like as guide dogs. So I'll talk a little bit about the origins of guide dog mobility. If at any time anyone's got any questions, feel free to ask, because I'd like it to be a bit more interactive rather than me talking at you all the time. So if you've got any questions, no worries at all. Does anyone know what the original guide dog breed was?
There is it.
Well done.
Name was Buddy, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That's true, yeah.
So that was the American one, Buddy.
That's the American.
What was it then?
Yeah, so well done, everyone knows that. That's actually one of the things that most members of the public don't know. Everyone thinks guide dogs are Labradors and that's it. So I'm currently training a German Shepherd, and that's the main question I get asked, is that a guide dog? Because everyone thinks it's an assistance dog. So, great. Yeah, so as Greg rightly said, the first German Shepherd guide dog recognised is Morris Frank with his guide dog Buddy, who was trained back in the late 1920s, and he went to Switzerland and came back with his guide dog. He went on a big publicity rant on about guide dogs to try and get him out there in America. So that's where it sort of all started worldwide. But the first guide dogs that were trained were post-World War II, with a lot of veterans losing their sight in the war. So what we're looking at in terms of different breeds, and the reason why we have moved to the Labrador, is because the client base has changed significantly from the World War II veterans, and now we are looking at a clientele that's very different. So what does everyone think the main differences are between the guide dog back then and guide dogs today? What are we looking at in terms of a guide dog temperament? What do you think are the best guide dog temperaments, as guide dog handlers yourself, what would you guys be looking at in your guide dog?
Calm.
Yeah, calm.
Calm, yes. Yeah, very good. Socially well behaved, isn't it? Because they're going in so many public places, and people's acceptability of guide dogs, it's people's opinion of guide dogs, is a well behaved dog, just like we've got today, sitting down nice and quietly, not barking, jumping up. So if we look at the German Shepherd breed, they are a high energy dog. And they like to be worked a lot. And we are looking at the clientele today. Most people are sort of over 50, and we've got quite a number of clients that would like to just go out for a walk once a day, maybe to the shops and back. Now, a German Shepherd is probably not going to be a great dog for them, because the German Shepherd is going to be bouncing off the walls at home. So that's the sort of things we're looking at when we are looking at what type of dog we want for our client.
They have a much smoother gait, don't they?
Mm.
So, yeah.
It's easier on the back.
You mean the Labrador or the German Shepherd?
German Shepherd.
Yeah. The German Shepherd gait is quite different to the Labrador. Yes, you're quite right in that. It's a different feel in the harness. The German Shepherd, unlike the Labrador, likes to inspect everything as they're walking along. And so you get a lot more head movement. And if you've had a Labrador, that can be a little bit off-putting, because with the Labrador, that means they're distracted. But with the German Shepherd, they will still work and maintain their work while they are looking everywhere. That's a generalisation, like trained guide dogs, German Shepherd. Yeah? So that's one of the differences. Some people love the German Shepherd breed. The other thing as well, you guys might know if you've had a German Shepherd before, people's public perception of a German Shepherd is a scary dog. Yes. Exactly. A lot of people have had bad experiences, and that's mainly through training. Maybe members of the public go train the German Shepherd as well as they could, and you get that maybe aggressiveness. They are a protective dog. So unlike the Labrador, who can be protective, but the German Shepherd is a one-man dog, and they can get quite protective of the handler. Whereas the Labrador is sort of more docile and does public more. So those are the sorts of things. I just thought I might talk about what breeds are currently used around the world. So I'll talk about overseas first. In Guide Dogs UK, they have quite a number of breeds. The main population still remains the Labrador in most guide dog schools around the world. One other breed that is quite popular is a cross. Does anyone know what sort of cross?
Yes.
Labradoodle.
Yes. They've crossed a Shepherd and a Labrador and Retriever too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, exactly right. So I'll repeat that. Golden Retriever cross Labrador is what everyone said. And then Edna has just mentioned about German Shepherd cross Labradors, which is very true. They use in the UK. It's not their main population, but they have used successfully. And that could be a nice mix with a high intensity driven dog in the Shepherd, but also maintaining that socially well-behaved, a bit more docile dog as well, and eager to please, because the German Shepherd can be a little bit self-interested and have their own agenda sometimes, whereas the Labrador is a little bit keener to please and will respond to positive reinforcement better than the Shepherd at times, depending on the dog. So the main breeds used in the UK is Labrador, the Labrador Cross Golden Retriever, and they have also Golden Retrievers as their sort of base for breeding. They also use German Shepherds, although I have heard that the German Shepherd breeding program at Guide Dogs UK is not going to go ahead any longer, just because they have had, it's sort of not as productive as the Labrador breeding program, so I don't think they'll be continuing with that for much longer. So that's the base breeds they've got, but what they've done is they've added to their breeding program a few other breeds, and those are a curly-coated retriever, a poodle, as they've said, about Labradoodles. That's quite a popular breed due to allergens. People that have allergies to dogs are going to be a lot happier with a dog that doesn't shed as much as Labradoodle, as we all know. And also, the poodle also have a high energy, and they can be a nice dog in terms of willingness to work, although you do get also that high energy and also a little bit of self-interest in them as well. So those are sort of the lesser populations, because they're sort of using it more based on a particular type of client that needs a particular type of dog. Question over here. I'll just bring the microphone.
More a statement. They've also used some Leonbergers, which are a cross between a Pyrenean Mountain Dog, Newfoundland, and a Saint Bernard. Cool. And they've done some dual training dogs as well. So for people with mobility impairments, they've used, and they're trained as guide dogs as well.
That's great. Yeah. So that's very true. Another question. Perfect.
I heard of two cases of different breeds. I heard at one point they were using collies here in Australia, and I was like, oh, collie! And the other one I heard was a boxer. This was quite a while ago for a guy who was very, very athletic. I love boxers too.
Excellent. Yeah, that's very true. A guide dog's okay. They have attempted with collies as well, but more as a cross to the Labrador, so that's true. And I have heard about a variety of crosses. And also, just the point that was made before about cross-training dogs, I have heard of a hearing dog being cross-trained into guiding and guiding into hearing dog as well. So they will sometimes, for a particular client that has a dual need, cross-train a dog to do both tasks as well. There is also a guide dog school in the US called Delta, and they train German Shepherd dogs, and they've been doing that since the 1960s, and they consider sort of their German Shepherd, the Fidelco German Shepherd, a breed within a breed. So that is a specialised breeding program for guide dogs, and they train those dogs to guide, obviously, and they are quite proud of that work they've done. So there is quite a very specific type of breeding they're doing in terms of temperament. So at the RSB Guide Dog Service, we have attempted a few different breeds. One of the most interesting ones, I guess, is we've tried a Labrador Cross Merino. A Labrador Cross Merino, so we've had a sheepdog. We've actually got Lottie, her name is, so she's working at the moment. We actually did breed, we got about 6 pups in total out of that litter, so it was quite small litters. It was, the Maruma was the mother, we crossed them with some Labradors that we had in our breeding program. What we found with that, Lottie is quite a good worker, but we did find with some of the other dogs that we had in the training, some of the other Maruma crosses, they were very protective. And because they are a sheepdog, they do have that herding instinct. So there was a little bit of that going on as well. And with one of them, we had to withdraw her for fear aggression as well. So it wasn't a breed that we found very successful, because out of the 6 pups, only one of them is working. So it's probably not something we're going to attempt again. But we do have a very good worker out there at the moment for that cross. So she is a very big dog as well. So you've got to consider that. Not a lot of clients might want to work with such a large dog. We do have 3 purebred golden retrievers working. And we find that to be a nice breed as well. But it's also a very specific dog, and not a lot of clients might like that. What the golden retriever has, if anyone's had one, they are...
Sorry? One under
the table. Brilliant.
One here.
Yes, what would you say about your golden retriever then?
Oh, God.
That's exactly right. Stubborn.
She's a hair machine.
Yeah.
And she's been quite sensitive.
Sensitive. Brilliant. That's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I found. I've trained a golden retriever myself who's out there working, and he's very sensitive. You know, they're sort of a bit of a sooky dog, and they are stubborn. So sometimes you just find yourself stopped in the middle of the road, and you're not quite sure why, and it will take you a little bit to get that dog going. What I always say is black and white handling with a golden retriever. Good boy, if you're good, get on with it if you're not doing your job. And that generally gets them going. Any indulgence, and you find yourself...
You've lost it.
Exactly right. So that's one of the things. If you've got maybe an overindulgent handler, then probably a golden retriever, you're going to struggle a little bit, because if the golden retriever, in a minute, will find out your weaknesses, yes, and they'll work with that. So that we do have quite a few pups in the program at the moment as golden retrievers, and we are quite hopeful for those. Our main stock is Labradors. We've got 56 Labradors in between the puppy program and guide dogs. And we've got 50 lab cross golden retrievers. So our main stock is between those two. We do probably find the golden retriever cross Labrador our most successful sort of breed in terms of ease of training and for the client as well.
No.
I have a question. I'm just going to
With your lab retriever crosses, are they like 50-50, or do you sort of try to breed more one in than the other? Sorry, just clarifying, how many we've got of each?
No,
what percentage?
What percentage of...
What percentage is Labrador? What percentage
is... Oh, how many breeding ones we've got?
No. In one dog, what percentage might be a Labrador?
Oh, okay, yes.
And then the golden retriever, the crosses, do you cross the crosses?
Okay, that's a great question. We don't. It has been done in the UK. What the reason why it's not done a lot is because for something called hybrid vigor. So when you cross two purebreds, the first cross that you do on that dog, you will get the best of both. Once you start crossing across, you start getting genetic defects. So you start maybe seeing some things like if the dog has any hip problems or if there's any other stuff like heart conditions, eye conditions, they will start showing up more. I have heard of successful crossbreeding with a cross in the UK, but was something that we have considered because we have had some beautiful golden retriever crosses, which is very tempting to breed with, but you do start getting a little bit more problems. So it might be something we'll look at in the future if we've got the right dog with maybe a very clean history, but it's not something we're doing at the moment because we obviously health conditions and also temperamental problems. It's not something we really want to get in our stock. So but a very good question, yes. There's a possibility also of German Shepherd cross Labradors in the future with the right stuff as well. And just because we're finding German Shepherds that we have. We've had four in trainings. Unfortunately, one got withdrawn for health, and we've had one just recently withdrawn for another health problem. And the one that I'm training at the moment is still a work in progress. So out of the four dogs at the moment, we don't have a lot of success.
Is German Shepherd there last a long time?
Do they last a long time? Yeah. Good question again. It's the hips is the main probably problem with the Shepherd, and that's sort of what they call the froggy leg. That leg at the back is sort of bred to slope down, and that is something that with age can sort of decrease to the point the dog can't work. We do hip tests. We do a pen hip test on all of our dogs, and we only try and use the ones that have good hips, but health-wise, that's probably our biggest concern. In the past, they have worked well, and in the UK, they do have a sort of the same working or similar working life of a Labrador, but they can be a bigger breed as well, and bigger breeds tend to age quicker. So we're looking at probably a 7-8 year working life in a Shepherd. Yeah, with good health. Yeah. Just another question.
I know the Fidelco breeding program, but they actively bred a straight back German Shepherd, so they're not interested in the slope back because they said that's actually a breeding characteristic that's showing very unsuitable for guiding work. So they actually paid, I believe, top dollar to originally import stock from like Croatia or somewhere that they were really convinced had really solid lines to begin with. So they pretty much said that they wouldn't have sourced dogs from anywhere in the US or even the UK for their German Shepherd breeding. So I'm just wondering, if you're going to pursue German Shepherds, would you seriously consider like getting them from like Bavaria or somewhere where because they said the straight back, the German Shepherd should actually have the straight back, they shouldn't have slope at all.
Yeah. That's a great question as well. We have actually gotten our German Shepherd stock from a breeder in Adelaide who doesn't breed for confirmation, so for the breeding room. So the Shepherds that we have got have a straighter back than maybe what you would see in the ring. So it's not a dog that would win any prizes, but it's a straight back. Nike recognised it is very hard to get a straight back German Shepherd, and when you see them, a lot of people don't even recognise them as a German Shepherd. But we have this breeder that has had a few straighter back Shepherds in his breeding program. So if we did, we might look at his stock, or like you recognise, we might have to import a dog or some semen from somewhere else in the world if we were crossing. Yeah, because it is a big problem in Shepherds.
What do you mean by that, by the straight?
Yeah, so if you, just like the Labradors and Golden Retrievers you have here, it's sort of a square, we fit in a rectangle and put around it. With the Shepherd, the back actually slopes down so much so that their tail can sometimes touch the ground. So it's from the head to the tail. If you drew a line, it would be diagonally down. It's not a straight
straight back dog. Yeah, it's sort of hard to explain, but that it's just sort of sloping down, and it's a confirmation that they've picked and they've sort of bred into the dog due to the breeding ring. So it's just like pugs and King Charles Spaniels, they got all those problems because of the breeding that had done. Yeah, so it's a very specific trial.
Okay.
Yes, just getting my question over here.
Hi, it's Dorothy. I was just wondering about your success rate with the dog.
Excellent. Our success rate is approximately 35 to 40%. We feel we've got quite a good success rate because our breeding program is so small, and we do have only about 60 pups on the program. We are able to give every pup quite a bit of time in the puppy program, and so we do have a quite good success rate with our pups. We have actually started a sister program with the RSL called Dogs for Diggers, so that we can use our stock that we don't successfully use as guide dogs because they don't have the right temperament or characteristics to go into this assistance dog program. So we only use stock that doesn't make it as a guide dog. So at the moment we're only doing 4 dogs a year. So we're trying to increase our sort of success rate in terms of working dogs through this sister program. Rather than, let them go as pets.
Do you have the therapy program?
We don't, no. Because we are the Royal Society for the Blind, our main criteria is guide dogs. That's what we want to, we are out to give independence to people that are vision impaired or blind, not assistance dogs. So at this present moment in time, that's where our focus is. But, the dogs that don't make it, we have dogs in SES and hearing dogs, we try and get our stock out working in some way. Any other questions? Yes? We've got two here.
With your crosses of Labradors with Golden Retrievers and Labradors with Shepherds, what kind of client would you match these with? Because you said about the Retrievers, they can become weaknesses real quick, and with the Shepherds, they needed a lot of work. So if you had a... if you were looking at all of us and you had all our profiles out on the table, what sort of client profile would you recommend for a cross for both a Labrador Shepherd and a Retriever Labrador, if that's what you call them?
Yeah. With a Golden Retriever cross Labrador, being such a successful breed, like I said, most clients would match that sort of dog. The reason being, obviously it's dog per dog, but like you said, Michelle, I would have to see each client's, walking speed and routes and, walking intensity. But if I was looking at that, a Golden Retriever cross Labrador has the best of both worlds in terms of it has the... It's not as sensitive as the Golden Retriever due to the Labrador in it, and also that stubbornness is not there as much as well. So those types of dogs are easy to handle, and they have low distraction levels. So that's why we feel they are the best sort of breed for our program, because they are very across the board. A German Shepherd cross Labrador, you would need someone that has a high intensity workload, and that was able to control a dog quite well, so someone that can pick up on the distraction levels and has a physical capability of controlling a dog like that. Yeah, but we don't actually have any Labrador cross German Shepherd. That is something that we may look at in the future. For the German Shepherd though, even more so, you would have to have a very high intensity workload, and also German Shepherds have some quirks that people might not like. They are stickers, they do talk. There's a lot of, they do like to vocalise quite a bit. So that can be fun sometimes, and it can be frustrating if you're in a restaurant and your dog decides to, have a bit of a chat to you. So there's a few quirks in the Shepherd that you'll have to accept. So I'm just going to get a question that Paul has, and then I'll come around to the other.
Oh, that was a big mistake, Daisy. Monopolise the microphone, but actually really enjoying the presentation. But I just wanted to add a couple of things to a couple of things that have already been covered off. One was Guy's Dog History, and we tend to hear a lot about Guy's Dog History in the English-speaking context. The true history of guide dogs begins way before Maurice Frank and Duddy.
Yep.
And guide dogs were being trained in Vienna over 100 years before that. And the story goes that one of those dogs, which was trained by the owner, was trained so well that people in the street refused to believe that the handler was actually blind. And just as I said, you can regret handing out the microphone, Daisy. the same problems of German Shepherds that we suffer here are actually suffered by German Shepherds in Germany. Although many people in Germany do want German Shepherd guide dogs because it's their national dog, and most people feel much the same way about German Shepherds in Germany as we feel about Labradors and Golden Retrievers in Australia. So it's just the standard family dog. But they still do have many of the problems, just like the back, hemophilia, other health issues that we have here. And so the same challenges exist for schools in Germany to find good German Shepherd dogs, and they're often or frequently asked to supply German Shepherd dogs. And just on the breed differences, I mentioned yesterday that there were somewhere between 50 and 100 service providers in Germany. Mm-hmm. And because most of those are boutique schools, many of them specialise in a breed that they like. With various degrees of success, I might add, but amongst those breeds would be giant schnauzers, obviously German Shepherds, standard poodles, collies crossed with German Shepherds, Labradors crossed with German Shepherds, which is a very popular dog in Holland, and also I just want to fly the flag for another breed called the Berger Swiss Blanc. which is literally Swiss White Shepherd, which is actually a German Shepherd in white clothes. But the Berger Swiss Blanc, Swiss White Shepherd, sometimes known as the Canadian Shepherd, is an animal, a German Shepherd, that hasn't been damaged by more modern breeding, and generally has a straight back, no hemophilia, and a lifespan that generally averages 13 to 15 years, as opposed to many Shepherds which had a lifespan somewhere probably between 8 and 10. I'll give it back to you, Dave.
Thanks, Paul. Okay, a few questions.
We'll take 5 more minutes to questions, Daisy.
No worries.
I'm just interested in, I know that, you know, one of the things about Shepherds, but also, you know, to some extent, Golden Retrievers, you know, they find the kennel environment really stressful. And I'm wondering whether, RSB, are you changing the way that, you know, you're training dogs and kenneling them? Like, do you keep them in puppy care for longer? Do you start the training process differently? Like, there's been a lot of talk about doing that in some other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Such insightful questions. That's great. Yes, actually, at Garrett's School, we don't have a kennel environment. We are lucky enough because we're a small school. All of our dogs sit in the office with us. The only time they're kenneled is at night time for about half an hour to an hour. But in saying that, the Golden Retrievers do suffer being alone more than maybe your Labrador. So that is something that we've had to look at. A client that maybe doesn't need to leave their dog very often at all, you know. And the other thing that you've mentioned there about keeping them in training a little bit longer, with our Golden Retrievers, we did actually keep them in training for that little bit extra time, which we found was really successful for us, and it worked really well, just because we felt they were not quite as mature as we would have liked them to when we did our assessment pre-formal training. So, yeah, it is something that we have to look at. Because we are a small school, we have that luxury. But in bigger schools, obviously, those things would have to be looked at in the kennel environment. And I don't have any expertise in that area. So, okay. Any other questions? There was a hand up here, I think. Hand up here, perfect.
Hi, this has been a really great presentation. I like the work that you guys are doing in terms of looking at other options for different breeds of dogs. My question is relating to the German Shepherd that you're training. Is this clearly it's experimental, I guess, Are you doing this because somebody has requested a German Shepherd, or is this in the hope that a client will meet the criteria that needs to be met to work with the Shepherd once the Shepherd has finished training? And succeeded, of course.
Yes. The German Shepherd training, I don't know how many of you know Chris Muldoon, but he's quite an adventurous type of guide dog handler, let's say, and he likes to experiment, so it's a little bit of that. But also the fact we have had a few clients sort of mention whether we have German Shepherds on the program, especially guide dog handlers that maybe have had more than two or three guide dogs. And they've, you know, been around sort of the guide dog industry for quite some time. So we have had a few inquiries about that. We do have a couple of clients on the waiting list that would suit a German Shepherd. But again, like I mentioned earlier, it is a specific type of dog, and that would have to be looked at the time, whether the client would be willing to accept some of those Shepherd behaviours. But we do certainly have some clients on the waiting list that would suit. But it's still yet to be seen anyway if the dog up training Lily will make it through to the end, just because of her. She's very aware of everything, so she needs a little bit more work. But it's definitely something that has been done in the past, and we thought we would give it a go to see if it was something, you know, a niche, more of a niche market, I guess, for that Shepherd breed. Yeah. Okay, no worries. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was great to meet everybody.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?